Today we're going to talk about the law of time. Everybody say the law of time. So we're on our third element of the laws of increase, and this is the third law that's tied to the last law that we talked about, the law of sowing and reaping. And so we're going to be talking about the law of time. Time matters. It should matter to you. Psalms 115, verse 14 says, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. And so that's our theme scripture. God wants to increase us. God's plan is to bring multiplication and increase into our life, into our lives. Praise God. His plan is to bring multiplication and increase into our lives. Praise God. And so we said there's four very important principles that we need to understand regardless of our current place or walk with God, because God doesn't want you to stay the same and stay where you're at. He wants you to increase more and more. I mean, you know that God's looking for you to increase. He's expecting you to increase. Amen. And we often say in the spectrum of it, you know, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, socially, and financially. So all the whole holistic spectrum of environments that you and I exist in and realms that we exist in. So principle number one was God gives you increase so that you can have an impact. Why does God want you to have increase? He gives it to you so you can have an impact. If you have no increase, it's hard to make impact. In no increase, no impact. God looks at us and says, I want to increase you so you can make a difference for the betterment of my kingdom. The Lord gives us increase so that we can play an important role in his work and not our own. So you can play an important role in his work and not our own. You're not just existing for your own life, for your own natural life. Amen. You're not living just for your own natural life. Come on now. You were created to do what? Serve God. You were commanded. You are commanded to what? Serve God. You are called to what? Serve God. Until you get that, life doesn't make any sense for you. So serving God, part of serving God is that you are to increase. Because God will increase. God's plan and will for your life is increase, not decrease. Principle number two, God gives you more so you can what? Do more. See, there's never a time, friends, where anyone's walk with God where they're allowed to hit the brakes, pump the brakes, coast, stop trying to make a bigger and bigger impact for the kingdom. In other words, this year should be more impact that you make than last year. Amen. Next month, October, should be bigger impact than what you made in this month, September. Amen. God's not looking for us to coast, pump the brakes, slow down. You know, the Bible even says, the Bible doesn't even say the word retirement. You can't retire from the will of God. Amen. You can't slow down on the work of God. Amen. Death for a believer should be transition, not termination. That means you transition. Why? Because you're finished. You're through. You've accomplished all that God called you to do. And then you go home. But too many times, death is termination, not transition. So God increases you because he wants you to be capable of handling more so that you can have even greater impact than ever before. Number three, God gives you more so you can do more, not just so you can have more. And so we got real specific, and so let's get specific again. If your giving's not trending up, then your impact isn't plateaued or flatlined or staying the same. It's trending down and it's declining. Because why does God give you more? So you can give the same? So you can do the same? Now, some people, like we always say, people's tithe will increase because their income has increased, but their offerings or their giving, that's where you start giving is your offering. You don't give your tithes. You return them back to the Lord because a tenth is belongs to what? Him. He's put ownership on 10% of your labor. So the first 10% belongs to who? God. So you don't give God anything that belongs to him. You just return back to him what he says is his. Are you listening to me? So you got to be looking at your giving level, your giving record. People often talk about their having status. Amen. I have this. I got this. And so people talk about what they got. They don't talk about what they given. You can't measure your worth and value in the kingdom by what you have. Because people say, well, I've been blessed. I got this. I got that. No, that's not a determining factor of your blessings, of your prosperity, the way the kingdom looks at it. The kingdom of God looks at you as a prosperous, generous person by what you give. Let's open up the checkbook. Let's open up your debit account. See what you spend your money on. Because money tells the truth. Money is not only a effector of your heart, it's a reflector of your heart. Money tells the truth. All you got to do, like they say in the criminal investigation from finance, follow the money. If you follow the money, does it show you as a giver or just a getter? I like what some people have in their heart. My biggest giving is the desire to be at the church, in the things of God. Why? Because they got it. They got the concept. I don't just live for myself. I live to give, and I give to give. Amen. See, when God gives you more resources, it's not that so you can give the same as always and keep the increase for yourself. Because Haggai, he told the people at Haggai, in the book of Haggai, chapter 1 and 2, he said, why are you got a new house, new car, new this? And my house lies in ruin and waste. He said, you need to consider your ways. And that's what this principle number 3 tells us. We need to consider our ways. Are we just thinking about having and getting and not giving? Because it usually starts about this time of year. People talk about what I want to have for Christmas. What do I want to get for Christmas? What I want to get. Some people plan ahead to March next year. What I want to get with my tax refund. Not what I want to give. Everybody got quiet. We were shouting a long time. Just a while ago. Hallelujah. See, we're not to be deluded, deceived, and measure our prosperity by cash, cars, clothes, and cribs that we have. Instead, our prosperity is to be what? Measured by the material and monetary things we give. So, well, I ain't got nothing to give. Well, look at your full closet. Look at your full garage. You can liquidate some stuff. You hadn't used stuff in over a year. Why you still have it? Well, praise God. I had materials this morning, or my apple cider with cinnamon. Hallelujah. Somebody said glory to God. See, if we hang on to stuff too long, we become a stuffaholic. Just like an alcoholic. You're a stuffaholic, a staticsaholic. Come on now. A securityaholic. I got all of this stuff. Why you got 100 shoes? Why you got 100 set of clothes? Why you got 15 Jordans? Hallelujah. Come on now. You could save money. You can sow them into somebody's life. You can keep giving and giving and giving. But a lot of people just want to keep living, living, living. Say, well, I got the next Jordans. Well, they $160 or $200 or whatever. $250. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Woo! I've been out of the shoe business for a minute. So. And they say, well, I have the news. What? I don't know why I'm talking about that, but I guess I need to talk about it. Praise God. Principle number 4, God will do what you can't, but he won't do what you can. Sometimes we want to push everything on God, but the Bible is clear. I plant it. 1 Corinthians 3:6. I plant it. seeds in your heart. Apollos watered it, but God who made it grow. King James says God gave the increase. So God gives the increase, but we have to do the planting and watering. What God's saying is within the laws of increase, that once I do what I can, he will step in and do what I can't. So what can you do? I mean, he even told Moses. He said, I can't even talk to Pharaoh. I can't even do it. God says, what do you have in your hand? He said, the shepherd's rod. I said, I'll use that. If you use that, I'll increase that. Amen? What are you not allowing God to use? Because he wants to bring increase. You got to do the planting. You got to do the watering. Or somebody else does the water. But God gives what? The increase. Somebody said, glory to God. So once we grasp these laws, we can understand the other laws. Now let's talk about the law of time. Thus far in the series, we've talked about the laws of increase. We've looked at first, number one, the law of words. Go back and listen to it because words matter. We have to realize, even Brother Steve said it this morning in the opening class, there's no inconsequential words. Loose lips sink ships. You got to watch the words coming out of your own mouth because what you say is what you get and what you've got is what you said. Amen. You'll never rise above the level of your confession of faith. Amen. Come on now. Your words are powerful. You got to take them seriously. Amen. Number two, the law of sowing and reaping. We spent the 2 weeks talking about sowing and reaping. Why? Because that should salt and pepper everything and every aspect of our lives. We live to sow and to reap. God wants us to be good sowers and good reapers of good things. So these are two powerfully important laws that we should embrace and engage in. So today let's look at the law of time. Everybody say time. Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not what? Cease. Now there's great significance in seed time and harvest and how it applies in our lives and in the laws of increase. But notice that God's promise to Noah here doesn't stop here. Doesn't stop there. It goes on to say cold and what? Heat. Now think about that. And if we read into this, we see that interwoven in the law of sowing and reaping and the rest of the laws is the law of time. Coldness and hotness or heat are extremes. Now, what is that saying to us? Listen to me very carefully. These are two ends of the temperature spectrum this earth experiences them both. We know it's been pretty hot this summer. But then turn around, people will be talking about it's cold. Except some folks from the certain parts of the country that's used to cold. But if you're not used to cold, you know, it drops below 40, everybody's panicking. And our house is smelling like that furnace smell because we turned the heat on for the first time. Amen. I know I'm guilty of it. Praise God. So we can drill down to it. The law of time tells us God's promises of increase works during extreme times in life. What is he saying? Cold, heat, winter, summer, day, night. These are all extremes that reference time. There's a certain time where the daylight is, but there's a certain time when the nightlight is here. So when it's dark in your life, when it's daylight in your life, increase will work during any time and any season of your life. Whew, glory to God. See, when everything's going great, no problems exist, God wants to give us increase. Everybody say increase. When we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, God wants to give us, come on, y'all, tell me, increase. We have long periods of extreme temperature, what we call seasons, which seed time and harvest exists and operate. During the summer, do you notice how many people complain it's hot? and how they can't wait for winter and they want to go to places where snow is. And the same people complain that it's too cold when the temperature in San Antonio drops below 40. Now, if you read Genesis chapter 41, we're not going to read it, but if you make a reference point to Genesis chapter 41, verse 1 through 57, it's a pretty long account and story, but it exemplifies how the law of time is in harmony with the law of sowing and reaping. See, we see God uses Joseph in this account, in Genesis chapter 41, when facing extreme times. The land would prosper, and there would be amazing amounts of crops, 7 years of plenty. But then followed by 7 years of the worst famine Egypt had ever seen would take place. That's what the dream that Pharaoh had that Joseph interpreted by the grace and anointing of God. See, it's a beautiful story, but through Joseph, God provided the contingency plan to get through bad times in Egypt. So what will he do for you and me? He will provide contingency plans to get through the dark seasons, the down seasons of life. Amen. And everyone was just fine during the famine. Guess what? You're going to be fine during any famine seasons. Somebody say, glory to God. So the story of Egypt should illustrate a better dichotomy of times. The wealthiest years of harvest followed by the harshest times of famine. God provided during both of these times and seasons. So we got to look at time and look at how it's referenced three ways in the Word of God. So I'm going to give you three references, and then we're going to get four lessons that we should take away from time. So reference number one is wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. Wisdom. Psalms 90 verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Now look at your neighbor and says, "Are you managing your minutes?" Now, usually the people that they say make seven figures or more manage their minutes and their hours, their discretionary time, more intentionally and effectively. Now, most people work regular, 8-hour day, but they don't spend their time wasting and killing time. They spend their time investing and using their time intentionally. Are you listening to me? Are you numbering your days? Are you managing your minutes? I think a long time ago, and I don't have the numbers with me, but, you looked at the wealthiest people of the world and how much they make per minute. these guys make a lot of money per minute. Some of them make more money in a minute than we make in a year. Why? They value their time. And always say, time is money. Amen. Wisdom. Wisdom helps you manage time and use time wisely. So Moses' prayer. This is Moses' prayer in this verse. This is Moses wrote Psalms 90. And after he observed an entire generation of negative, doubt-hearted, and bad attitude-possessing people squander 40 years in the wilderness. He's like, man, these guys ain't getting it after 40 years. I'm still preaching to deadheads and dead cabbages. He said, Lord, teach us to manage our time. That's what he said. Why is that? What good is it, does it prioritize and manage our time do? This verse goes on to say that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Amen. One of the key needs we all have in our life is to submit to a godly leader and a mentor in life. Why? Mentorship is a transference of wisdom. In other words, their time and experience transfer wisdom into you. That means you don't have to take all that time they took to learn it. You just let them lead and impact your life so it transfers wisdom into you. Why is this so important? So that you don't waste time and squander time making the same mistakes and missteps in life. That's why they always say, don't just hang around folks that just broke and at the same level financially as you. You need to reach up, and if you need to get wisdom financially, have a financial mentor who's made it to a certain level that's godly. Of course, you don't want somebody ungodly, but you want a godly mentor to pull you up and pick you up to new levels of thinking and time management. Amen? I remember Bishop Del C. Bronner, who's a multimillionaire, and he said that you know, he was invited to a breakfast that he knew one billionaire because he's trying to get into the billion flow. Well, he's a millionaire, but he knows I still got to increase. His daddy created a wealthy company, a hair products company, and they were in the millions, multi-million dollars. And he said at the time he's about worth $30 million. But he's with this billionaire who's got incredible, serious amounts of wisdom and financial insights. Billionaire. But he said he's sitting with another billionaire. He didn't know him, but he wanted to get to know him. Why? Because he's putting people into his life that can help bring him up and groom him up to another level of thinking. Amen. So this billionaire, who he didn't know, was given some hot coffee and he's in a paper cup, and he's just burning his hand. And he said he understands the principle of relationship, that everybody always has a need. So some people think, well, they don't need nothing because they look good, they seem like everything is going good for them, and they don't have a need. But they don't learn how to connect. So he said everybody has needs. So he flagged down the waiter and said, bring me a ceramic coffee cup. Because this guy, you know, 70-something years old, he was 76 at the time, or 78, burning his hands on his coffee. And he said, bring it. He took his coffee and poured it into a ceramic cup and gave it back to the billionaire that he didn't know. And the billionaire said, come sit next to me, Bishop. Or is it Pastor? He said, you can call me whatever you want, just call me. But he said for the next hour and a half, he poured wisdom into him that he didn't have, that he needed. Somebody said, glory to God. I remember recently he talked about, we were at a meeting with him, and he talked about one guy who took from the streets in a suburb in Atlanta. And he's in Atlanta, and the guy came and looked at a building. And he looked at a building that he had, which was a business building, and then a house that he had. And he said, this guy didn't have nothing. He's third generation welfare recipient. I mean, poor. Not poor, P-O-O-R, but poor. And so he just poor. And then he said he looked at this young 17-year-old kid. And he said, I like that house. He said, you want that? That's my house. He said, you want a house like that? He said, I sure would. He said, I'll teach you how to get a house like that. He didn't give him a house, but he taught him how to get a house. He says, for the next 3 years, he mentored that young man. To where that young man, in 3 years, bought that same kind of house with cash. 3 years. So you think you got to earn all this and spend 50 years getting this? Come on now. Wisdom. Wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. So he taught him how to use time to his advantage. He said that young man bought a house like that. Fixed it. He said, I got the house. Paid cash. He taught him how to make money. He taught him how to do business. He taught about different things and mentoring. And he said that guy is worth $500 an hour. Somebody say glory to God. Amen. So each one of us have a number of days, hours, and minutes. You know, there's 440 minutes in a day. What are you using them for? Zig Ziglar once said that it's the lack of direction, not time is the problem. We all have 24-hour days. What are you doing with your time? Amen? It is said that time is a temporary interruption of eternity. Time is a tiny part of our future. Eternity is our big future. Life without purpose is time without meaning. So the question begs, are we living just for our natural life or are we living for eternity? We must understand that what we do in this time will matter in eternity. God wants us to increase in this time. You said the economy is going crazy. It's up and down. But he still wants you and me to increase. Amen. And use time as our advantage and our benefit. See, we can't build eternity when we get to eternity. Someone's like, well, I'm just going to wait till the escape plan when we take it out of here. No, we have to build our lives now. We have to build our families now. Amen. See, when my life counts for you in this life, then my life will count for me in the next life. Because some people think time is just only for me to use. I sleep as long as I want. I get up whenever I want. Come on, y'all. I watch whatever I want. I do whatever I want with my time. And we're so self-centered and self-serving with our time. But it doesn't count for anybody else but you. But I'm telling you right now, if your time counts and matters for someone else in this life, it will count big time for you in the next life. Are you listening to me? So our focus is to be on others, not on ourselves. Why does God want some of you to be millionaires? So you can help the kingdom of God and the body of Christ skip the time to try to raise money and get funds to buy land and buy property and do all these things. Amen. Come on now. You don't have time to waste. Amen. Just trying to go and do everything yourself. Amen. See, not doing what you're doing, you're supposed to be doing in and on time opens the door for the enemy to steal your future. What are you supposed to be doing with your time? I know TV and media has a lot of things that distract you and disrupt your time. But you got to stay a good steward with your time. Now, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says it this way. Ecclesiastes 3:1 in New Living. Let for everything, there's a season and a time for every activity under heaven. It's useless to keep track of time, friends, if there's no end toward what you're moving towards. You know, they say certain people are basically on Facebook or social media 5.5 to 7 hours a day. And you're supposed to be sleeping 8 hours a day. Come on now. You're supposed to be working 8 hours a day. And they spend the next 5.5, 6, 7 hours on social media. You know how many years, add that up, how many years and months that is over a lifetime if you live to 100? How much time that is? Well, praise the Lord. See, time is such an important part of our concept of life, and many of our conversations center around it. How old are you, right? How did you move into the community? When did you move into the community? Excuse me. How long were you in the military? Or on that job? So people are always asking time questions. When were you married? How long were you married? How soon you finished that assignment? See, when God created us in time, he set a certain time for the height of our maturity. After that, the beauty declines. We are ready to move into eternity. Because, see, time's not our permanent home. Eternity is our permanent home. But God places within each of us time, but made us eternal beings. Look at Ecclesiastes 3:11, New Living Translation. It says, yet God has made everything beautiful in his own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. Even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to the end. So God makes everything beautiful in the time he gives it. That's why he said there's a time to sow, and there's a time to or plant, and there's a time to pluck up what's planted. Some of us need to realize it's sowing season, and then there's reaping season. It's not time to be trying to reap and get yours. It's time to be sowing in. Amen. Amen. Beauty has to do with maturation or with fulfillment or perfection. See, God created you for a specific purpose and gave you the exact amount of time required to fulfill that purpose. You know, some people run out of time because they mismanage it. There's time and season where God calls and deals with people about doing certain things. Even me, you know, us, we talked about why did God send us here? Well, because he tried to get several other people to do this. I wasn't, you know, I'm not feeling bad about it, but we weren't God's first choice. But there's certain people that says, no, Lord, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to make time making sure my future is secure in their natural life. And they don't heed the calling. They don't answer the call. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So God has to pull us out of time and place and say, get here, because I want this church to come and come forth. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So you got to learn to number our days so we can learn wisdom. Now look, this is a good prayer I recommend that you pray. Psalms 39, 1 through 5. It says, Psalms 39, 1 through 5. Look at this. I said to myself, I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. Now, King James says, I will take heed to myself that I sin not with my tongue. How many know you can say things and cause more sin and damage with your words than anything else in your life? Amen. You got to put a guard over your mouth. Sometimes you might have to tape record what you say sometimes just to realize how much damage and how much destructions are coming out 1 inch below your nose. He said, I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. But as soon as I'm in silence, not even speaking good things, the turmoil grew within me worse. The more I thought about it, the hotter I got. Anybody ever sit up and be meditating on things and don't say nothing, but then you're getting frustrated or upset about stuff? But what is God telling you? He says this, and when I thought about how I got the hot, I ignited the fire of words. The Lord reminded me how brief my time on earth will be. James says it in James chapter 4, life is a vapor. It appears and it's gone. You think about 100 years compared to 100 trillion, quadrillion, quintillion, sextillion years, which is just the beginning of eternity. You can't even count eternity. You're talking about 100 years compared to 100 sextillion years? You count that. He said, remind me, Lord, remind me that my days are numbered and how fleeting my life is. You've made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. You got to realize that you only have so much time that God has given you. And you can't mismanage it. See, our Father God created and the desire was with a time as to be time-conscious beings with an eternity perspective. Now, reference number two is appreciation. Everybody say appreciation.
Appreciation.
Come on, say it with me. Appreciation. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16 says, see that you walk circumspectly. That means accurately, purposefully, intentionally. Not as fools, but as wise. But redeeming the time because the days are evil. See, sometimes we have a tendency to reflect and express complaints about the time we are in right now and wish it were a different time. Like some people don't like sowing time because it means I got to delay my gratification. I can't bear everything my beady eyes sees. Because God has need for me to sow. Because that sets up my future to reap. Are you listening to me? Young mothers, for example, and fathers tend to have certain complaints about their young child or baby's inability to sleep on and nap on the desired time. Why don't they go to sleep? And the dirty diapers and the dirty clothes that they mess up all day long. And they wish it were another time. Then when we grow older, our health gets challenged. Just even standing up and bending over and joints and limbs sometimes cause pains and discomforts. And we complain about our, what? Achy body. Our health. Y'all ain't got quiet on me. The bottom line is that certain times in our lives may require God's help for us to appreciate it. To appreciate means simply to value. You genuinely are grateful and thankful for the opportunities and to honor God for the time he bestows and gives you. You know, when the children sometimes become teenagers and they want to be real independent, and sometimes we don't appreciate and value those times. And we find ourselves being a little bit more ungrateful and disgruntled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So our Father God, so he gives you times to appreciate and thank God. Why does he? It's a great honor and privilege to serve God. Amen. And if he's given you and blessed you with a child, grandchild, amen, teenagers, whatever the case may be, you get the opportunity to be used by God to minister to that person. So sometimes we ought to thank God for them. Amen. Amen. Our Father God's time is extremely valuable, precious, and priceless. It's a high honor for him to choose to walk with us, to work with us, to work through us, to carry out his purpose, plan, and will through our lives. This is the day, what? This is the day, the time, the season, the hour, the moment that the Lord has what? I will rejoice. Because this is another opportunity to serve God. Amen. This is another opportunity to spend my time today walking with God and working with God and allowing him to work his will through my life. Amen. 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 That means I appreciate time. See, one big key is this. When you take time to give honor and appreciate God with your time, he will help you to redeem it. See, another truth from this scripture we just read is if we don't redeem the time, our days become what? Evil. Everybody say evil. Evil is anything or anyone that takes you and me away from our God-intended purpose. Now, let's just pick on social media since I've already picked on it. So if you waste time, let's say you waste 2 hours on social media, liking, commenting, forwarding, posting, and it's just basically you're not doing what God told you to do with that time, at that time, on that time. What? Then social media has become evil to you. Amen. We ought to be able to walk out in watching a sports game or a good TV show. Why? Because God, you've given me time to redeem. Amen. And sometimes, in case many of us have recorders, or you can go back and watch on demand, you go back and watch it later. Amen. But now it's time for me to take time to pray. Amen. To take time to intentionally worship God and praise my Father God and rejoice, because I'm getting a little depressed or discouraged or something like that, that's creeping into my mind. I don't need to be spending time on social media running my mouth. I need to be in there rejoicing and making sure that I'm living accurately and purposefully and intentionally in the joy of the Lord and in the purpose and plan of God. Amen. God's plan is not for me to walk around evil thinking and having discouragement and depression working on me. Amen. That's dishonoring to God. That's even disrespectful to God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Hoo-wee. Colossians 4, 5 says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming what? So redeem just simply means to recover that which is lost. Make it most of the time. Now, some of us came to Christ early on. Some of us came to Christ later on. Well, you're making up that time, too. That BC time. If you're a bad boy, a bad girl, you ought to be running hot for the Lord and hard for the Lord. Amen. Are you listening to me? Some people just want to get their toe in the water or get the one leg across the fence. Come on, get all in. Amen. Come on, now you a booger bear and a bad boy and a bad girl out there shaking it like it's hot. You ought to be shaking the devil around because you're hot for Jesus. Say amen. Amen. Use your time to win souls and get people, bring people into the kingdom. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're supposed to manage these three huge resources, time, money, and relationships. Now, the third reference, number three, is faithfulness. Everybody say faithfulness. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, it's through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your what? Faithfulness. See, time helps us understand about God's faithfulness. Each morning we are given, that is a morning that we can rest assured that God is a faithful God. Every new morning, God has a bowl of mercy waiting for you. Amen. Come on now. He has brand new mercies every single morning. He said they're new when? God doesn't take days off. He doesn't sleep or slumber. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Come on. He said, Jesus said, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end. That means every time, everywhere, every place, he's there. He's faithful because he's there. And if God is with you, God is for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Praise God. David said it this way in Psalms 37:25, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants breaking bread. He said, over time, I haven't seen God forsake anybody. Hallelujah. Any of his kids. And so we can wake up every morning and say, thank you, Lord. You're faithful. You're too faithful to fail. You're faithful to perform your word in my life. Praise God. See, God isn't thrown by time. Neither should we be thrown by time. Amen. I got to have the money by the end. I got to have the money by my Monday. I got to have it. No. God's never late. Sometimes we think he's not early either, but he's always on time. God is never done with us. No matter how old we get, no. God, he encouraged Timothy. He said, "Don't let anybody despise your youth." See the people who are sub 20 in this room, or in the sub 30s in this room, or even sub 40s in this room. God is not. You're not too young for God to use you. You got to keep the dream in your heart. God used David, teenager. God used Joseph, young man. See, God wants us to manage our time, use our time resource wisely. How? By effectively prioritizing your time. Distinguish between important and urgent. Now, let me say something here. This is pastoral talking right now. Some people have drifted to simplicity to complexity of always bouncing off of drama to drama and emergency, urgency and urgency. You gotta distinguish between what's important and what's urgent. Just because they called you doesn't make it urgent. You gotta learn to say no. I'm not jumping in that firebox with you. Come on, learn to be a fireman or fireman. Put out your own fire. I got to do this because God has said this is my time to do this. This is what's most important right now. You got to prioritize your time. Amen. Amen. You got to take sometimes the examples that some of us have before you. You know, just because Sally Sue got a little cut on their finger, and they're going to get two stitches, doesn't mean I got to miss 3 weeks of church. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I talked to the Lord about it. He said, "You right?" He said, "You know, our oldest daughter who's in heaven, sometimes she went to jail. She did something she wasn't supposed to do. She's driving somebody else's car. She got a license. She's driving somebody else's car that was not registered, and it was after curfew. She's supposed to be staying over at a friend's house. So she went to jail. He called me and said, "You went in jail." I said, "Well, just leave her in there. We'll get her out in the morning." See, some people jump up and say, "I got a mercy, I got to run." No, I said, "She got herself in it. Let her get herself out. I'll come down in the morning." And one of the neighbors ended up, one of the parents of the other child, they went up and got him for her. But I wasn't going down there. I wasn't changing my schedules or running and be like a fireman. Woo! And that's how some parents are. They're just always running after you. Woo! Take your fire suit off. Take care of what's important and not urgent. Praise God. Prioritize your time. Number two, scheduling and organize your time. You got to plan your day, plan your week, plan your month, spend 80% of the time working areas of your strengths. If you're not spending time working on your leveraging your strengths, then you're all squandering or wasting your time and wasting your energy. Spend 15% of your time learning and growing yourself. Work hard on yourself just as much as you do your job. In other words, like Brother Steve said, you know, you've been given books. We give you books online. We give you books, paper books to read. You got to be learning. If you stop learning, you stop living and you stop leading. You stop growing. And then spend 5% on the necessary required things. Number three, investing 80% of your time in the top 20% of your priorities. So 20% of your priorities were going to give you 80% of your productivity. So if you devote and invest your time and money and human resources toward that top 20 priorities, top two priorities, then it will give you 80% results. Then number four, manage your time based on the three R's. I'm introducing this to you. Three R's: requirements, return, and reward. Requirements is your job, the things you're required to do, required of you that you can't delegate. You can't give that to somebody else. I can't delegate being a senior pastor. I are it. And I can't delegate that, right? So things you're really good at, things you really enjoy, things you're not good at and not really don't really enjoy, you should delegate it to the maximum extent possible. Because you're not supposed to serve the Lord with what? Gladness. You're not supposed to be doing things out of drudgery. Don't fold the clothes if you're mad. Don't wash the dishes and break all your dishes because you're angry. Serve the Lord with what? Glory to God. Return, that means evaluate and eliminate what must not dominate and not waste and squander your time. If you're going to meet with somebody, particularly your leader or your boss or supervisor, you got to have what they call the 10X rule. Spend 10 minutes of time preparing for every minute with your boss. So every 10 minutes of time, you put 10 minutes in preparation. Some people don't apply that even in the church context. You know, it doesn't take us, I don't just wake up in the morning, Sunday morning, and put some words together. Amen. It's 8 to 10 hours of reading, research, reviewing. Amen. So that you can deliver. Amen. You're prepared to minister. Amen. Prep time, speaking, communicate. You got to put an hour of practice and prep and planning to every 10 minutes of speaking. Amen. And then the reward. Their goal is to get more done with less time. Now, there was an old industry organizational methodology called the payout or potential of a leader. And one of the phraseologies or the little terms they used was there was the lopos leaders. The lopo leaders were leaders who would take 60 hours a week to get 40 hours of work done. That means they wasted time. They weren't not necessarily efficient with their time. They lagged. They dragged people down because they took a long time to get what should be done in 40 hours. They were low-po leaders, low-po supervisors, low-po time managers. Now, their neck-pos, which is not on the scale I'm talking about, but neck-pos, N-E-G, was people who you knew when you picked up the phone and you looked at that name, you knew I'm about to lose an hour of time. I'm about to lose 30 minutes of time. You know when they call, they don't want nothing but to pull from you and waste your time. And then there's meepos, the people that would work what we call dollar for dollar or hour for hour. They would produce 40 hours of work in 40 hours of time. They were just average people. But we're not called just to be that. We're called to be hypos, which is high potential or high payout leaders. In other words, high payout leaders are people that can get 40 hours of work in 20 hours of time. They were time redeemers, not time wasters. Somebody say glory to God. And so God, everyone should schedule 4 to 8 hours of work on something that God has called you to labor in. We say, well, I don't have a job. Well, God's got something for you to labor in. Don't just waste your time all day. Everyone should schedule 7 to 8 hours of sleep and rest. Watch the binge watching TV and the social media and the video game overindulging. These can become time killers. And God doesn't want your days to be evil because you're told to redeem the time. Now, 4 lessons by time as we close. Everybody good?
Yes.
Once we grasp these principles, we need to understand these are 4 lessons we need to learn. Lesson 1, don't grow weary. The laws take time. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us excuse me. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't let time get to you. Because in due season, you will reap. And don't judge people during their reaping season and due season because you're in your waiting season. Amen. You can't compare. Amen. When people are in harvesting in their lives, don't get irritated and frustrated because you're in your waiting season.
Yes.
Don't grow weary. Somebody turn to someone next to you and say, don't grow weary. Lesson 2, today is the key to tomorrow. We just read the opening scripture there. Psalms 115, verse 14, the Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. So the key is do what you can today so that your tomorrow can be better.
Amen.
Now, lesson number 3, the passing of time isn't a sign that things aren't working. The passing of time isn't a sign that things aren't working. So we should never be uttering out of our lips, I don't know what to do. I'm out of time. See, Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, cast your bread on the water, and in many days afterwards you'll find it. Instead of losing hope at the passage of time, be hopeful. Lesson number 4, last lesson. Pour your energy into planting seeds instead of watching the clock. Some people probably looked at the clock while they were here. Pastor should be finished by now. Yes, I'm finishing right now. But stop looking at your clock. Galatians 6:9-10 says, and let us not be weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore we have the opportunity. Let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Never judge a day by the harvest you've reaped. Some of y'all need to write that down and get that in your spirit. Never judge a day by the harvest you reap, because some people judge and say, did you have a good day today? No, I had a bad day today. You shouldn't be talking like that. Judge it by the seeds you sow. Yes, I've got an opportunity to sow some good seeds today. And so we've done good things today, and you make tomorrow better. We are to engage in day-to-day process of sowing good seeds, not just sow one day and hope to reap a lifetime for the rest of our lives, but God's given us all time to plant. We can't use all the time just for ourselves. If you're so busy and scheduled up where you don't make time to bless and benefit others and be a benefit to the kingdom, then you need to remanage your time. Amen. You got to think about, how can I plant? How can I help bless somebody or benefit someone with my time? Because don't just look at the clock, learn from it. Time never stops. Time always moves right, and it never goes back to the past. Time is an non-renewable resource. Amen. The scriptures encourage and instructs us to redeem the time, and don't waste or squander the time you've been allotted and given in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Stand to your feet, please. Father God, we thank you. We praise you for the privilege and opportunity to share with these, your precious people. We thank you, Father God, for the encouragement.